Well, hello, Modern Mystics, and welcome to our June 2018 teaching module. This month's module is called The Power Principle. And I said that I was going to give you guys a couple of months off to stop working so hard. And so this month I'm not breaking my promise to you. We're moving into our second month of integration and rest. And so I hope you had the opportunity to practice with the exercises that we did last month, those exercises of play. While I wasn't working you really hard, those exercises were meant to cultivate a sense of play to help you generate a greater sense of understanding how our inner being, when we generate those exercises with color, being able to generate our inner being to be able to cultivate things that we're able to sense and see and perceive, and then being able to take that out into our physical world and extrapolate that. I hope you had a chance to play with those. And if you haven't, then I encourage you highly to go back and revisit last month's module to play with those exercises. It's nice to be able to put our mystical tools together, not always with a sense of urgency and a sense of seriousness, but to be able to take an idea of play and relaxation into that work. So as we just rolled into summer solstice here in June, and you know, kids all over the world are getting ready for summer vacation and they're going to have 2 months of play, I encourage you to take advantage of those exercises that I provided for you last month and play with them, and to consider how those playful exercises applies to your ability to shape and build and create your outer world as a reflection of your inner power. And as to follow up with the idea of solstice that happened June 21st, you'll see, if you haven't already seen it already through the emails that I posted and through joining me in the Spiritual Adventurers Forum, I've posted a teaching module here in the June module called Surfing the Mystical Solstice. And that hour-long lesson is a bonus for you guys. It talks about the power of solstice and how we can surf the energies of the time, but also mystically speaking, and again, you know, when we're doing our mystical work, we understand that the power that we work with, the source energy that we partner with, is always available to us at its peak, at its maximum capacity, anytime we want or need it. The beauty of solstice is that it expresses itself at those two times of the year, either winter solstice or summer solstice, depending on where you are on the planet. It represents itself as a reminder in the physical world for us to take advantage of those heightened energies that the sun is bringing to us. So I encourage you, as I say, if you haven't already, go and check out the video module that I've included here in the classroom and apply the exercises that we talk about as it applies to solstice. And, you know, you've still got, again, as a reminder, as mystics, we understand that we can use that energy any time of the year, but we might as well take advantage of it and, again, play with the energies of this time of year, and use the rituals and the considerations and the understandings that I provided there for you in that teaching video module, and have some fun with that module. It was fun to be able to put it together. There's lots of really great feedback from it. So I hope if you've seen it once already, that you go back and check it out again. And if you haven't seen it, then definitely go in and check it out. It's got some really cool understandings about the sun and how we can surf those mystical energies any time of year. And thirdly, I had promised you guys several months ago that I was going to provide you with a Creating Sacred Wealth free mini class. And I forgot to let you know that I had posted it in the classroom several weeks ago. So what I've done, instead of having, I think it was posted in the March module. So what I did is I just provided that link for you here in this month's module, so that there's an extra bonus teaching. This is the teaching class that I made available to you guys because you were so patient while I was rebuilding my website. And then I did post it a while back and forgot to tell you. There's been a lot going on. So you'll also find the link to that audio recording here in the June module. So there's a few extra bonus things for you to play with and participate in and consider as we dive into this month of June that we're going to call the Power Principle. It's really important to understand that as we develop our mystical muscles, as we grow stronger in our mystical understandings, as we start to deepen and integrate principle, as we start to practice and embody the ideas of being and doing and having, and we clear out the limitations of shadow, etc., as we upgrade our understanding, it's important to understand that in any kind of mastery, regardless of whether you're a mystical master, a painting master, a musical master, a mathematical master, an athletic master, that from time to time, it's important for us to go in and revisit certain considerations so that we can further integrate our levels of power. It's also important to understand that as we upgrade our levels of power, that our levels of awareness, our levels of clarity, our levels of certainty, our levels of unification with our higher soul starts to feel more natural and more organic. We notice as we sort of upgrade our levels of power that there's less and less distinction or separation between what in the past we may have viewed as our intuitive voice or the voice of our guides or the voice of our soul or the voice of our higher self or the voice of our, you know, our spirit guides or the voice of the angels. That as our power starts to upgrade and integrate, that distinction, that separation between us and source energy becomes less and less evident. What I hear oftentimes from people who are sort of at this stage of upgrading in power is that they feel like there's a lull or a softening or a quietening down of sort of the supernormal, paranormal, special magical stuff. And they kind of go like, well, you know, how come I'm not noticing those high bliss feelings? How come I'm not noticing anymore that it feels like I'm getting guidance and direction from my guides? And I say over and over again is that as you upgrade your power, those separations become less and less obvious, less and less evident, because you and that higher intelligence, whatever you want to call it, your soul, your guides, your guardian angels, there's less separation between you and it. And so again, it starts to feel more and more normal for you. So this too is why sort of taking a bit of a break and relaxing and letting things integrate is really important, to allow a settling down, to allow a, think of it like when you make when you make Jell-O, right? That when you make a Jell-O mold and you add the boiling water and then you stir it and then you let it set in the fridge, that Jell-O mold needs time to solidify and integrate. And as we do take the time to solidify and integrate, and as we step up in our levels of power, that integration, that unification, that blending of self and soul starts to become less and less distinct. As you're moving up the pathway from self to soul, it's going to start to feel so normal for you to be at that place of soul that there's less and less obvious separation between you and it. This is what Jesus meant in his mystical statement, the Father and I are one. And it's always intriguing to me that whenever I've looked or read any kind of mystical text, whether it's the Bible or whether it's the Bhagavad Gita, you know, or any of those mystical texts, I never really see Jesus or the Buddha talking about spirit guides or talking about, you know, getting messages from the angels. They're always talking about the direct relationship they have with their soul and source energy. It's nothing separate from them. It's nothing that is, you know, divided from them. And so as you continue this path moving from self to soul, it may feel like things are settling down. You're noticing that things feel maybe a little boring because this shift in energy has really started to integrate and recalibrate itself. And that is normal and to be expected. But what we mustn't allow ourselves to do as that integration becomes more solidified is we don't rest on our laurels. We're always learning, we're always advancing, we're always staying open to experiences. We're always still continuing to be courageous, to step out into greater commitment, to follow those four C's of our spiritual path of consciousness, commitment, clarity, and character, that even as things settle down, those elements of the four C's, those elements of refinement are still very active, and we still apply them consistently in our life. It's also important to understand that as our levels of power upgrade, that we still can learn. We're still learning. We're still refining. We're still having experiences of an opportunity to fine tune. We're still having experiences where we may forget for a moment whether we're coming from self or soul. And we have an opportunity to go, oh, wow, I really dropped the ball there. I get to recalibrate. There's no judgment. You just pick up the ball and you keep going. And you'll notice that that process, as this power becomes more normal for you, that you're making choices, evolved, wise choices that are coming from that higher and refined identity that you've been recalibrating. You know, we talked last month as well about the eight power tools of the modern mystic. And part of aligning those eight elements and being sure that all of those elements are working together to guide us towards our goal of enlightenment or healing or personal transformation. Over time, the integration and the alignment of those eight elements as they start to all click together and harmonize, that automatically results in an upgrade of power, an upgrade of clarity, an upgrade of flow, an upgrade of wisdom and understanding and momentum and creative power. But again, just because we're settling into this new level of power doesn't mean we take our hands off the wheel. In fact, what it allows us to do is it allows us to refine our understandings with an even greater awareness. Using the analogy again of the goldsmith who refines gold, that and when we're turning spiritual lead and converting it into spiritual gold, at this stage of our path, where there's less and less refinement that's necessary, when we do make those little adjustments and refinements, they have an impact that is even more powerful than perhaps what we were doing at the beginning, because we're doing it with far more consciousness. We're doing it with far more awareness. We're doing it with far more deliberate understanding of the how, what, and why of our mystical path. And so it's important to understand that each time you make a mystical upgrade, think of it like a spiral that is constantly refining and expanding, like a fractal that once the change is made within you, that like in a fractal design that has the design within the design within the design within the design, that once you make a conscious and powerful change, that change is reflected at every level of your being. And when at this level of power, you're able to make those adjustments, those tiny little delicate shifts in minutia, that those tiny delicate shifts, as I said, have even more power to alter your levels of being than the ones you were doing at the very beginning, because there's less stuff to refine. So when you do, at this stage, there's less stuff to refine. So when you do make these steps into refinement as you upgrade your power, the refinements that you are making have a lot of meaning. And so they're not to be taken lightly. And that also is a part of, you know, when we make these upgrades and everything sort of seems to settle down and it feels like there's less distinction between yourself and your soul, and it all just feels like one unit, that those tiny little adjustments are also contributing to that new level of normalcy. And so I want you to sort of settle into, you know, we've been doing Mystics for almost 2 years now. For those of you who have joined recently, this might be new, but those of you, many of you, most of you have been here for the whole 2 years. You may be noticing that there's sort of a calming down, there's sort of settling down of the work. It's starting to feel like you're like, I'm really not noticing many differences. But what I want you to be able to really recognize is that's what we want. That's the goal, right? Just like it's no big deal for you to get behind the wheel of your car, it's just normal for you. But when you first learned to drive, it was a big deal, and now it's just normal. It's the same thing. And you've heard me say this over and over and over again, that we want our mystical practice, we want all the miracles that we can cultivate and create. We want that just to be normal. We don't want it to be a big deal. We don't need it to be a big deal. We don't want it to be magic. We're applying principle here. Just like it's no big deal for us to add 2 + 2 to get 4, we understand these concepts and these principles. It just is no big deal, right? So this idea of the power principle, I thought it was important to bring this to our conversation in June because, you know, whether you're consciously aware of it or not, your levels of mystical power have been slowly but surely escalating, growing. You've been developing greater levels of stability. You've been cultivating greater levels of peace and power. You've been cultivating greater levels of awareness. You've been cultivating greater levels of personal reflection and noticing the difference between when you're coming from the limitations of and the habits and the preconditions of self, and which is reactive, versus coming from the responsive nature of soul. And so, and again, I've said this to you guys over and over again, that what we're going to notice on our mystical path is the changes are always going to happen within us first. It's always going to happen within us first. And so even though the shifts may be subtle, the fact that you're noticing them within you, if you continue to amplify your power and continue to move forward over time, those changes in the inner world are going to take shape and reflect in the outer world if they haven't already started to do so. All right. So what I wanted to be able to do as we step into this month in the power principle is to revisit this idea of power and how, when we are ready for an upgrade in power, that it's really important for us to go back and revisit the concepts of power, the understanding of power, the understanding of powerlessness, and what happens, you know, when we activate greater levels of power. It's important for us to understand that there are side effects of that. Just think of it like if you were to go and drive, when you learned to drive, let's just say you drove your dad's old beat up 1969 Chevy Cavalier, right? And, you know, it was a car, it moved, it got you from point A to point B. You learned how to do what you needed, you learned what you needed to know how to do in that car. It had a limited amount of power, but you got you where you needed to go. Once you learned how to drive safely, then maybe you go, I would like to drive a Lamborghini or a Porsche or a really supercharged powered Tesla. Well, you still need to have the fundamentals of driving under your belt, but there's a greater level of awareness, a greater level of control, a greater level of stability, a greater level of emotional balance, a greater level of physical proficiency that needs to be activated before you get behind the wheel of that sports car. You know, you guys have heard me talk over and over again about the fact that I'm taking riding lessons. It would be the same as if you learned how to ride on a 25-year-old, you know, mare who, you know, was ridden by children for years and years. And then you go and you sit on the back of a thoroughbred racehorse. It's going to be a different equation completely. The rules of the game don't change, but you need to know how to master, how to handle, how to maneuver that higher level of power. Or it's going to be a disaster for everyone involved. And so that's what we're going to revisit here this month. And what's kind of cool about us revisiting the power principle is that the world right now is giving us a perfect mystical opportunity to revisit the idea of power. You know, when we first started out with mystics, one of the very first things I encouraged you to do as it relates to our alchemical tool of awareness was always to be able to look out into the world and look into your personal life and just witness and observe and say, what is the underlying energy that exists at the root of this scenario or this situation? Well, the world these days for our mystical practice is very interesting. And so if in all of its madness and its craziness and its absurdity and its holy moly, it's just for a mystic, the juicy weirdness and the juicy strangeness of the world right now is serving us in refining further our mystical sight, our mystical inquiry, and our ability to investigate the energy underlying the chaos of the world. And so with all of the refined understandings that you guys have now about this idea of power and energy and understanding the mystical equation that inner world shapes outer world, and that being shapes doing and shapes having, and the equation of energy plus information equals outcome, you can look out into the world right now and see that that people out there in the world have no clue about any of that. And so if you're using your mystical eyes to go and look out into the chaos of the world, you're probably noticing several things. And remember that our job as mystics is to go and look and be interested and curious about whatever's going on, to not form a judgment about it, to not form an opinion about it, to not settle down into polarity about it, but rather to use our mystical and alchemical tool of awareness to refine our levels of understanding. So if you look at the world right now, and you can use these considerations to look out into the world as a whole, and you can also use them now as a refinement to look into your own life. Again, whenever we upgrade our power, we always want to refine our own understanding of our personal life. So you can use this as an example to look out into the world, general world as a whole, and then also use these considerations to look at your own individual personal life and check in with yourself. So if we look out into the world as a whole and we use our mystical eyes to look, and investigate the energy, we notice that there is a massive lack of power, inner and outer power, right? Everything that is leading to the nuttiness out there is based on a lack of inner power and outer power. Again, not having a concept or an understanding of the principles that inner world shapes outer world. Inner world is a cause, outer world is an effect, and our being shapes our doing and our having. Virtually everybody out there in the world who is twisted or is in any sort of battle with anyone or anything is completely unaware of that reality, right? And so then what you want to be able to do, and if you look out into the outer world and any of that stuff is pissing you off, making you afraid, getting you angry, making you want to, you know, punish somebody or get angry at somebody, then you realize when that happens, you go, oh, I've forgotten my mystical principles. I believe the outer world, which is an effect. I'm believing that outer world is real and I'm not pulling my power back. So if any of the stuff that you're noticing in the outer world is bugging you or pissing you off, then you've forgotten the equation. The same thing applies to your inner world. And by now, this level of understanding has gotten more and more refined. But sometimes, again, we slip out of remembering and we forget. And that's okay. Those things are there in our personal life to remind us so that we can refine our power. We can upgrade our power. We can make tiny little minute adjustments so that we can master and navigate and flow with these refined levels of power. If you've ever worked out with a trainer and, you know, you're working on different muscles, and I notice this when I'm working with my riding coach, is that each week she has me do different exercises to fine tune the different muscles in my body. And these muscles that, this week she had me sit on these tiny little rubber balls. She had me put them under my bottom in the saddle. And that just helped me refine my balance. And last week she had me do something else, a different shifting in balance, to get the muscles that support balance in the saddle, to get them more refined. And this is what we do in our mystical work as well. But we use our life to help us do that. So whenever we look out into the world and we notice dysfunction, or we look into our world, our personal life, and we get discombobulated, or we lose our balance, or we shift out of peace and power, that is not there to punish us. That's not there to show us where we failed or gotten something wrong. That is there as an example to give us an opportunity to refine. Right. So anytime something is shifting, or anytime we're caught off guard and then we come back into consciousness and we realize, oh, wow, OK, this is an opportunity for me to refine. That's an opportunity for you to refine. So the first thing that we notice in our lives and in the world is a lack of power, inner or outer. And so we're at this stage of the game, we're checking in with ourselves and we're saying, OK, am I remembering this principle of inner world shapes outer world, being shapes doing and having? And that the inner world is a cause and the outer world is an effect. Let me refine that. Let me upgrade that understanding. Let me really drive that understanding home, especially in your personal life. There's 7 billion people contributing to the nuttiness in the outside. The only one you have control over is your own. And so you collect all of that power, you bring it back into your individual life, and you really check in with yourself. You refine, you tweak, you adjust. You don't make setbacks in your personal life mean that you've done anything wrong. And that's the second thing that when we look out into the world right now, on the global scale or in our personal lives, that there is an overabundance of meaning. People are making things that happen, again, from their negative, limited, immature understanding. They're giving really destructive meaning to the things that are happening out there in the world and in their lives. But let's just talk about ourselves individually here. And we've talked about this before, that it's really important to understand and be very clear and cognizant and aware of the meaning that you give to things that happen in your life, that happened in your life in the past, that are happening in your life in the present, right? Because the meaning we give to something collapses it in the 3D, and it gives it density. It gives it structure. I've used the analogy before. It's like an ice cube tray giving shape to water. When we give meaning to something and we say that means that I've done something wrong. That means that I'm a failure. That means that the universe is against me. That means that I'll never get this right. Whatever meaning you give to something, that means you see somebody doing something and you say that means to me that that person is awful. That means to me that that person is evil. The moment you give meaning to something, it collapses that energy into it, shapes a reality in your life, which then makes it very hard to move through, right? And so this is why, again, as mystics, we don't look out into the world and make it mean anything. We don't collapse it and say that person is evil, that person is wrong, that person is a child abuser, that person is a monster, or I'm bad, I'm wrong, I'm a failure, I'll never get this, right? That's why as mystics, we don't attach meaning to things, because the moment we do, it solidifies it. What we do apply meaning to, and perhaps this isn't even accurate in its statement, but where we do really commit to an idea about ourselves or about the universe or about our relationship with source energy is as it relates to our identity with source energy, our relationship with source energy. When we say, I am one with source energy, I am one with the Father, I am creative, I am loved, I am powerful, I am blessed, I am prosperous, I am kind. When we set that declaration, that's not really a meaning, but it is an idea that we commit to, right? When you apply meaning to something, that becomes an idea that you commit to. And so what I want you to be able to do is I want you to, you know, go and excavate your past, your history, and look at where you've applied meaning to certain things. You know, maybe you, you know, made an investment and lost a bunch of money. Maybe you got into a relationship and it didn't go well. Maybe you made a decision to switch jobs and it didn't turn out well. And you attached a meaning to that. And then it feels like then as you've moved forward that you haven't been able to pull yourself out of that history, or that you find that history in whatever way, you've not been able to rise above it, or you've not been able to cultivate new solutions, or you've not been able to cultivate new outcomes. And it seems like you're repeating those patterns over and over again. Well, part of that is because you've committed to a meaning or a definition about what something in your past has meant for you. And I want you to also do the same thing with what's going on in your present, right? About whatever circumstance is happening in your present reality, and investigate what meaning you're giving it. And if the meaning that you give it is not life-affirming, is not in alignment with what your attitudes of the perspectives of soul might have about something. Now, remember that soul doesn't take anything personally. Soul is not rooted in past, present, or future. Soul is immune to things that happen in the outer world. So I want you to reflect and look at the definitions, the meaning you're giving to things in your past and in your present, and inquire about whether or not those meanings have been shaped and defined by your limited self or your expanded soul. And essentially, when you get down to the nitty-gritty of it, your soul, as I say, will always look at whatever comes its way as an opportunity for refinement, an opportunity for growth, an opportunity for further advancement on the mystical path, an opportunity to learn. But we don't want to do that from a place of, you know, fairy dust and everything is good. We want to, you know, be able to witness those scenarios and situations with a degree of clarity, with a degree of reflection, with a degree of what was the underlying energy that even created that scenario in my life? What was the lesson that I learned? How have I defined it? What have I made it mean? How am I carrying that around with me even now? Do I want to continue to carry that meaning around with me anymore, or am I willing to let it go? And really spend time with it, and don't, you know, what they call spiritual bypass. Don't just spiritually bypass it like, you know, the New Agers do and say, oh, it's all good, it's all good. Really investigate it, right? Go into the meaty, juicy bits of it and see how, see the how and the what and the why and the underlying energy of all of those things is, and how you can, when you allow yourself to release or neutralize the meaning that you've given to anything, or more clearly and succinctly, when you can allow your soul, that doesn't take things personally, that exists only in the present moment, that is emotionally stable and balanced, when you can allow your soul to provide meaning for a past scenario or a present scenario, what will tend to happen is that scenario will be neutralized and then will be easier to break apart and reshape. Thinking again of the idea of an ice cube tray, when you are able to neutralize meaning, that's kind of like taking the ice cube tray out of the freezer and putting it into the sun, and then being able to pour the water into a brand new ice cube tray. And that gives it a different shape, being able to move it from a square ice cube tray to a circular ice cube tray. That's what recalibration of meaning allows you to do. And once you've recognized that you have that power and that ability, you're going to notice how quickly and how fluidly and how expressively and how capably you're going to be able to move through any and all situations that come your way without losing any power or peace along the way. So double check with that. Look at where you may be providing, maybe where you're giving yourself, where you're creating an overabundance of meaning that is making it hard for you to move forward. And the world also, and the third thing that the world is showing us, is when you look out into the outer world, it's revealing to us mystically as people are becoming more and more polarized, as the deep inner shadows are being revealed, you're starting to see a deepening, a revelation of the unawakened self. It's important to realize as well that these shadows were always there. The political circumstance of the world did not create, you know, Donald Trump did not create this divisiveness and this anger and this hatred and this bigotry. He revealed it, right? So these distortions, these unawakened identities of the limited self were always there. They were just politely hidden, deeply hidden, deeply unconscious, deeply masked, and now they are being revealed to us. And so as we within ourselves do our own upgrade of power, this is a really profound time for us to double check in with ourselves and say, okay, as I'm looking out into the world and I'm seeing all of this hate and I'm seeing all of this anger and I'm seeing all of this separateness and I'm seeing all of this, whatever it is that's catching your attention, our job as mystics is to go into ourselves and say, ha, I know that if I'm seeing it in the external world that exists within me, so am I willing to go in and look at my own inner hatred? Am I willing to look at my own inner anger? Am I willing to look at my own inner selfishness? And just to be able to really use this time for further refinement. I've told you guys this story before, that when I went to the retreat in March and requested an upgrade of power, that massive shadow was brought into my awareness. My murderous rage was brought to my consciousness in a very rich, violent dream where I approached an ex-boyfriend and I grabbed him by the back of the head and I slammed him into the concrete and I smashed his head until his brains leaked out of his ears. And it's not a pretty dream at all, but it revealed murderous rage. And I had requested an upgrade in spiritual power, and this was revealed to me. So it's really important for us to understand that when we're getting ready for an upgrade, that these deeper shadows of the unawakened self are going to be brought to our awareness. So the cool thing for us as mystics is we get to look out into the bizarre world and all of its weirdness, and especially if something is catching our attention, we're able to identify the underlying energy. We go, what's underlying here? hatred, separation, bigotry, rage, fear, whatever it is, powerlessness, pain, envy, whatever it is, misogyny, and really go, where does that exist within me? Not in an attempt to get rid of that within ourselves, but to bring it to our awareness and be able to see, ah, yeah, that hatred is in me, and I'm willing to accept that hatred within me. And the moment we can accept that, again, not applying meaning to it to say, oh boy, if I have hatred in me, that means that I'm not spiritual. It's simply not true, that we all contain polarities of light and dark within us. This is the part of the problem. This is why there's so much weirdness going on, is because especially people in the spiritual community, they don't want to look at themselves and say, I have murderous rage, because gosh, if I have murderous rage, or if I have anger, or I have bigotry, or I have whatever, then that means, right, meaning that I'm not spiritual. That means that I'm going to attract something, right? So this is a double whammy here. So we want to be able to really recognize these uber dark shadows within ourselves and accept them without making it mean anything. So now, you know, being able to accept my murderous rage from time to time, I'll be out walking and I don't even know where it comes from. I'll just be able to go, hey, there's my murderous rage. How you doing? I see you. How are you? I love you. I know you're a part of me. I know you're a part of me because I'm a human. And that exists in our ancient human structure. It doesn't exist in our spiritual nature, but it exists as a part of our ancient human structure where, you know, in order to survive, we needed to kill shit. We needed to kill other people. We needed to kill, you know, in order to survive, we needed to be murderous sometimes. And so that nature exists in our deepest, most base identity. And the more we're able to embrace all those base identities, witness them, not applying any sort of meaning to them, they will start to neutralize and they will no longer have any power. And our consciousness, the nature of our soul then, is what starts to come online to have more power. The limits, the limited power of the self that is attached to those labels, those identities that we're not willing to look at, becomes neutralized. And then the soul is able to just naturally flow in to take the limitation, that take its place, right? So those are the three things that I want you to check in with yourself. Where do you notice a lack of power? Inner, especially. Where do you notice that you've applied an overabundance of meaning to stuff that's gone on in your life, either currently or in the past? And where can you use the stuff that's going on in your life or out in the world as a whole as a deepening of your awakened identity of soul? Where can you use the nuttiness in the world to go in and say, ah, there's some unredeemed shadow going on that I really want to redeem within myself? And use those three checkpoints. The more you refine those three checkpoints, again, what that's doing is it's giving you greater control, greater balance, greater awareness, greater consciousness, so that when you're coming off of riding the old 1967 Chevy and stepping into a Porsche or a Lamborghini or a Maserati or a super fast Tesla, that you've got the control, the discipline, the focus, the balance, the emotional stability, the quickness, the presence of mind to master that degree of amplified energy, right? If you were to, you know, if you were to have just learned how to drive a car and then somebody put you behind the wheel of a Maserati, chances are good you wouldn't be able to drive it, probably, number one, because it's a very different machine. Or if you were able to drive it, you might crash it and cause some damage. So these ideas, these concepts of investigating a lack of power, an overabundance of meaning, and being able to really question the different layers of your unawakened self are going to help to refine your degrees of the ability to direct, sustain, support, control, and partner with higher levels of power. Okay. And so while these energies are being so bizarre out there in the outer world, and while these energies are so evident right now, it's the perfect time for us as mystics to revisit this idea and these principles of power so that we can refine and deepen its understandings and its foundations within us. And we get to use the crazy outer world as an example of not of what not to do, right? We, and this is sort of the idea as well, as we get to, as mystics, we get to use the outer world, not by giving it meaning to say that's stupid, that's dumb, that's evil, that's bad, that's wrong, but to be able to look at the outer world and going, what's the underlying energy here? And what are other people doing that I as a mystic know inherently that I shouldn't be doing? All right. Using our principles and our understandings, the things that we know as part of our mystical equation and those principles, right? That the universe is mental. It's all based on mind, that the things we see in the outer world are a projection of our inner world, right? And for us as mystics, mind embraces all of the senses. It embraces what we think and what we say. It, you know, all of those things that we talked about in last month's module, those eight power tools. But it also mind embraces sight and smell and feeling and knowing and understanding, and it uses our gut instinct, and it uses the compassion of our heart, and it uses our mind and our intellect, and it uses our higher knowing. All right. So realize as well that as our power upgrades, and we're using these principles of mind, that the universe is mental, and that when we're partnering with the creative force of the universe, we're using our mind to do that. And mind embodies all of these things. Mind, like I said, mind includes the brain, the thoughts, the words, the actions, our feelings, our sensations, our gut instinct, our heart compassion, our intuition, our innovation, our mental capacities and all of that. So it's not, don't just think of when we talk about mind as being the stuff that goes in our head, but our whole body, our whole being, and all of the different senses that we possess in our human skin suit, each of those senses is a version or a reflection or a note, an aspect of mind. It's thought that when a human being is completely perfected, that it's been said that there are 300, that a human being has 360 senses. You know, right now as mystics, we might be using, you know, maybe 10 or 11: sight, smell, taste, touch, sound, knowing, feeling, understanding, right? But it's thought that when you are perfected, and I don't even know what those things might be, but that you have 360 senses. And what those are different interpretations that the body, the nervous system will use as a reflection of mind, right? It's a little complicated right now, but I want you to think of the idea of mind as everything that the human body experiences and expresses. It's not just the thoughts that go on in our head, right? So I want to remember, for you to remember as well, especially this upgrade of power, that, you know, Einstein said it himself, you can't solve a problem from the same level of consciousness that created it. And so you look out into the world and you can remain very neutral to it, because you see how people are trying to solve problems using the same level of consciousness that created it, and it simply can't be done. So the things that are causing problems in the physical world won't be changed by, you know, changing laws or arresting people or sending people back home or giving people permission to carry guns. None of that's going to change until consciousness changes. And that's an individual, one at a time. Your responsibility is your consciousness. My responsibility is my consciousness. 7 billion people job. Individuals, right? And that on this planet simply won't happen, because this planet in its 3D perspective will always be polarized, right? We've talked about this before. So as a mystic, we can look out into the world and more appropriately look into our own individual lives and say, okay, what level of consciousness has created this scenario or this circumstance? What level of consciousness has created this situation in my health? What level of consciousness has created this relationship with my family? What level of consciousness has created this financial situation? And again, not to give a limiting meaning to it, but just to be able to identify it and say, well, clearly, whatever this circumstance is that's limited in my life, that was created by a certain level of consciousness. Chances are good it was created by a consciousness based in my limited self, the self that took things personally, the self that that implemented limited meaning, the self that wasn't aware of the creative equation of inner world shapes outer world. So, but now that I've got this expanded level of consciousness, I can change that. Because my level of consciousness has changed, I can solve that problem, that financial problem, that health problem, that career problem, whatever it is, and I can make a different decision, right? And so we can look into the outer world and be like, wow, that's really interesting. Look at the level of consciousness that has caused that. Now, I'm not going to get tangled up in arguing and fighting and debating, because what's the point, right? Virtually every person on the planet doesn't understand these principles, and so they're not going to understand a conversation that you might have with them to say it's consciousness that's creating it. It's not government, it's not politics, it's consciousness. And so you remove yourself, you step back, and you bring all of your energy back within yourself, and you work on you and recalibrating that field of energy. Right. You deepen your understanding of these principles, that the universe is mental. You deepen your understanding of the principle, the equation of energy plus information equals outcome. You deepen your understandings of the laws, which, you know, again, is principle. And people on the planet don't understand the law and the origin of the word. And we've talked about this before. The origin of the word law comes from actually Lord. That Lord, the definition of Lord leads to law, and law leads to principle. And when mystical texts and tenets said you must obey the Lord, what they were saying was, if you want to create heaven on earth, you must follow the law. Lord means law. Law means principle. So you follow the word of the Lord, meaning not some religious God who's going to smite you or, you know, kill you with lightning bolts, or, you know, some saint that's going to punish you with karma. That's not what this is about. That's religion, and the New Age made it personal because they didn't understand they didn't understand it. So when you follow the word of the Lord, means you're following the law, meaning you're following principle. 2 + 2 = 4. It's not personal. The Lord, again, this is religious text that got so distorted. The Lord, meaning the law, principle, is not personal. It's no respecter of persons. It shines on the righteous and the non-righteous, the saint and the sinner. It's a formula, right? And so virtually everybody on the planet does not understand that what they're seeing on the outer world has been generated by a formula that they are participating in unconsciously. And they believe there's some God who's keeping some secret from them and holding some grudge against them and is punishing them and all this other stuff. And it's causing Armageddon and all of that other stuff. And they simply don't understand the law. Okay. And so if as we upgrade our power, as we step further and further and further into mastery, our remembering of this law, our remembering of this principle must become really rooted and really ingrained in us. Okay. So that again, when something happens in our life or in our world that gets us uncomfortable, that we might define as bad, again, being aware of what meaning you give to something. Because, you know, most people who are unconscious in the world, they look out into their life and they say when bad things happen or when good things didn't happen and they didn't understand principle, they blamed it on a wrathful external God, or they blamed it on the universe who must not want to support them, or they blamed it on the law of attraction, right? And so as we upgrade this level of power, it's really important for us to understand and refine this principle. Because if you don't upgrade your understanding and your remembering and you're constantly checking in with yourself about this principle, then you're going to face limitations. And we want to be able to bump those limitations out of the way. And again, in order for us to be able to upgrade our power, think of it just like going to the gym. You don't go to a gym by lifting feathers. You go to a gym by lifting weights. So in order for us to gain more power, we're going to bump into old patterns of limitation from time to time that then we are asked to look at and refine our knowing of this principle and our understanding of this principle to say, okay, here's a familiar situation that I've experienced before in my past, coming up again to be refined within my consciousness. How am I going to handle this circumstance or scenario differently than I have in the past? How am I going to move through this scenario? Am I going to react from my limited consciousness that set this thing up before? Or am I going to respond from my higher understanding? Am I going to respond from my mystical concept? Am I going to respond from my understanding of principle? Am I going to respond from my ability to not give it meaning or definition? How am I going to respond to this? And if you can respond to this scenario that comes your way from the place of higher level of power, remembering your mystical concepts, remembering your rules of principle, remembering all of the laws that you've integrated over the last many months, then you'll be able to move through that scenario with a greater degree of grace, with a greater degree of success, with a greater degree of win-win-win for everybody. And because you've moved through that scenario from a higher level of consciousness, if you will, then chances are very good that you won't ever face that scenario again. Right? Again, these scenarios come up for us to be able to further refine them, to be able to, each time they show up, we're addressing them from a more refined level of power, more refined level of consciousness, more refined level of awareness, a more refined remembering of our principles. Who am I being in this situation? Am I being my limited reactive self that's coming from habit and pattern and reaction? Or am I coming from my evolved, expanded, powerful, centered, harmonic, integrated soul? Because if you make a decision, you take an action from that place of expansion, the outcome will be very different. If you take action from your limited self, that the outcome will be very different. Again, using Albert Einstein, you can't solve a problem from the same level of consciousness that created it. So that too is a part of the upgrade in power, is that each time a familiar scenario comes forward, we get to go, okay, am I going to face this scenario from self or from soul? And the more consistently you make that, any decision, any response, take any action from soul, that's a different level of consciousness. And so the outcome of that scenario will be very, very different. And over time, you won't face those challenges anymore. Okay. So the true mystical, esoteric, alchemical understandings, we know these principles. And so we are completely unfazed by the collective consciousness that is so unruly right now. You know, I've heard a few people say, I'm losing sleep. I can't sleep. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I'm getting sick. I just, oh, the world is just so terrifying. And I'm like, wow, okay. I understand that. I used to function that way. I get it. But again, mystically, we're able to pull all of our awareness and our attention into ourselves because we understand the principles of what's going on here. And because we understand the principles of what's going on here, we don't lose power. Right? The unawakened, the asleep, the non-mystically trained, they don't understand these principles. And so they suffer. And so if you find yourself suffering in any way, then check in with yourself. Say, okay, I'm suffering. I'm experiencing pain. I'm experiencing anxiety. I'm experiencing anger, or whatever it is that you're experiencing. If there's any kind of suffering, then you have to remember and check in with yourself and say, oh, I've lost something here. I've shifted into self. I'm not in soul. Because most suffering is caused by the meanings that we give to things, and soul does not apply meaning. Okay. So be really, really aware of that. And what's going to start to happen is that as that relationship, as you move more consistently into that relationship with your soul, then that mental aspect, the consciousness aspect, the fire aspect, the ability to intend, the ability to choose, the ability to claim, the ability to declare, the part of us that says, I can, I am, I will, I am a part, I am one with the divine, I am one with the creative force, I am, can, I am, I will do this, that super conscious creative source mind, that part of us that plants the seeds of creation and intent into the wisdom stream becomes unstoppable. Okay. And it gets to the point where that just is who you are, right? Where that aspect of your identity, that part that is the I am, that is one with the Father, that has the creative aspect of the creative aspect of the feminine and the willful aspect of the masculine, that has the super creative impact of the Father, the conscious mind of the mother, the outcome of the child, that all of those elements of yourself, the mother, the Father, and the divine child, and we've talked about this before, the Father being the creative source mind that is, you know, is the creative impulse that runs through us spiritually. The mother, which is our conscious mind, which is the ability to choose, the ability to direct, the ability to intend, the ability for us to say, I am a mystic. I live a mystical life. I follow and understand, not even I follow, I understand the mystical principles. I understand the word of law. I understand that this is how my reality is shaped. That's the choice of the conscious mind, the creative mother, that as you step into these refined levels of power, that declarative chooser, the conscious mind, the mother, is able to, again, like an ice cube tray, shape and direct energy with greater and greater proficiency, with greater and greater precision, with greater, with less time between idea and manifestation. And that declarative, conscious, choosing nature, that mental fire of intent that says yes to our vision, that says yes to our identity, that says yes to who we have defined ourselves to be, starts to shape, mold, and direct our reality. All right. And again, that ability, as we become more powerful, starts to happen more elegantly. Right. Starts to happen more organically. It starts to happen what people who don't understand principle might call magically or miraculously or serendipitously, or, you know, the universe brought it to me, or I attracted it. And again, you know how I feel about those things, and those are inaccurate concepts for a mystic. But those things that are serendipitous and seemingly miraculous and seemingly synchronistic, those things start to happen more readily. But because we understand the principle and we understand the power that we back our identity with, that when we say something, our word becomes law, right? And again, law and principle. Our word becomes part of principle. Things we say, I am creating this, I am successful, I am powerful, I am healed, I am whole, I am peace, I am love, I am power, I am grace, I am joy. Those things, and as we claim them and declare them with power, and they start to become our being and saturate our being, that when those things then start to appear and manifest on the external world, it's not a surprise to us. It's not magic to us as mystics. It's not miraculous. It's principle, right? Jesus, when he was creating his miracles for healing or loaves into fishes or raising people from the dead, and, you know, at the root, those stories, those miracle stories were symbolic, but it's not like when those miracles were created that Jesus was in any way, shape, or form surprised, right? He wasn't like, oh, wow, look what I manifested. Look what the universe brought to me. He's like, no, the Father and I are one. My word is law. And this is just how it works. And anything I can do, you can do in greater still. But it's principle. And he also said, no one shall enter the kingdom of heaven except through me. When he said that, he wasn't saying that as nobody can have this power unless they declare Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. What he was saying was, no one can have these powers unless you do it through this principle, unless you do it through this law, unless you do it through these rules and guidelines. Right? And so we want to be able to get to the point where this level of creative power is just normal. 2 + 2 = 4, normal. 8 + 2 = 10, normal. It's inevitable. If you take 8 jelly beans and add 2 jelly beans, you're going to get 10 jelly beans. It's just inevitable. If you understand these levels of power, these levels of clarity, these levels of refinement, and who you're being and doing and is going to shape what you create, it just becomes inevitable, right? And so we get to use our life and we get to use the world and all of its weirdness to help us refine our relationship with power, okay? And it helps us remind ourselves as mystics, that we remind ourselves of our foundational understandings, that nothing outside of us has any causative power. It's only our relationship with our inner world and our inner word and our relationship with source energy that has the power to create and generate reality, right? Inner world is first cause. Outer world is effect. So, I mean, what's going on in the world today is in our face every day. And so we get to use it, that weirdness, to remind ourselves to not give power to external things, to not give power to situations or people or environments or neighbors or heredity or ancestry or friends or the weather or public opinion or social media or trends or collective ideas, realizing that most of the things in the outer world were shaped by somebody's erroneous meaning and definition that they gave to it, which then became real, became concrete, became solidified in the 3D world, and can't be moved. And so if you are, if you're following somebody or having your energy distracted by somebody who doesn't understand these principles, then you're going to be burning and wasting a lot of time. So we don't give any power to those things outside of ourselves. And, you know, it leads us back to that mystical statement that we've talked about before that says, thou shalt have no idols before me. Thou shalt have no idols before me. It wasn't the declaration of a jealous God. It was a declaration that source energy, consciousness, is the only creative power. No idols before me, meaning economies can't shape your personal wealth. Right, you know, in the news right now, they're already saying there's going to be another huge economic recession. So people are getting panicked and scared. But a mystic says, source energy is the source of my financial abundance, not the global economy, not whether or not there's a recession. Right? No idols before me, meaning nothing in the physical world comes before the understanding of the relationship that we have with source energy. It's not the religious construct of God, some mystical guy in the sky, but it's a conversation of the energetic, the electrical creative mind force of the universe. As a mystic, we say there's nothing comes ahead of that for a mystic. Source energy is it. And then what we do as mystics is we reshape that source energy into resources. We reshape that source energy into health, into wellness, into abundance, into ideas, into creativity, into relationships, into well-being, into peace. That source energy is first cause for us. And then as mystics, we shape that first cause into whatever it is we want so that we have resources. Source energy reshaped becomes resources of energy, of ideas, of intuition, of food, of money, of anything we need, right? And this is how we reshape this energy through our mind. And as we're upgrading our levels of power, that ability to refine and reshape that energy becomes more balanced, more efficient, more effective, more obvious, more apparent, more recognizable to us. Okay. And that we remember as mystics that we are not separate from that mind force of the universe. So our goal as mystics is to maintain our perfect balance of that. And we get to use nature as an example, right? Looking out in nature, looking at, you know, you look out into the world and you see the billions of blades of grass. You see the billions of bugs that you can see and that you can't see. You see, you know, you breathe in billions of molecules of oxygen. You breathe out billions of molecules of water, the billions of stars, the trillions of planets and galaxies, the millions of cells in your body, right? There's a constant flow. There's a constant order. There's a constant renewing. There's a constant balance that we as mystics are always in alignment with. And so most of the people on the planet have forgotten their relationship with this creative power. And so they believe that the outer world, which again, I've said this before, is simply a projection of the collective human mind. They've forgotten, maybe not even forgotten, most of them don't even know. And so they freak out. And so as we upgrade our power, we also need to remind ourselves that we remember that our definition of power is the self-determined ability that, again, self-determined meaning you decide, you say, you claim, you choose. So our definition of power, to remind you, is the self-determined sovereign ability to shape, move, direct, and engage with source energy. Right? And as we upgrade our power, as we start to, again, using the analogy of learning to drive a car, as this stuff becomes more integrated and we get into a position where we can handle greater levels of this creative power, we have to remind ourselves of that knowing. Okay. And we understand that polarity is at first, and you've probably noticed this over many months and many years, that polarity was heightened within your life. You know, you maybe had, it took you a while to get off the swing of breaking the habit of being in the law of attraction, being able to stabilize in that center point of power, right? You've started to alter your relationship with the outer world. That takes time, right? But it's probably getting easier and easier and easier for you to do. And so as a part of your, again, as a part of your sort of consideration, again, not wanting to give you any sort of exercises, but just as a consideration for this second month of integration and calibration, is to look out into the world. It's easy to see where people are completely operating from their belief in powerlessness. And so use that, use all of the things that we've talked about and project them into your own life. And where are those habits of limitation, those habits of meaning prevalent? Money, health, doctors, bosses, children, spouses, economy, politics, laws, time, age, living environment, whatever. All right. Because we, as mystics, starting with ourselves, always, always, always with ourselves, and focusing 99.99999% of our energy on ourselves, our goal, our mission is to break the tradition of powerlessness, to break the tradition of unconsciousness that's been handed down from generation to generation. And again, the moment you become awakened, consciously aware, and you start to see the results of all of the hard work you're going to be that you've done, that automatically alters your consciousness. It automatically alters your DNA. It automatically breaks the energetic tradition that you have been handed down in your family. And what that does then, it also affects consciousness as a whole, because there is only one consciousness here, disguised as billions and billions of people. And as you become more conscious, and as I become more conscious, and as all of our mystical friends become more conscious, that even without us deliberately going out into the external world, helps other people become more conscious, right? But again, remembering that this 3D world will always have new souls coming in that need to learn and need to remember and need to have experiences in this 3D reality. Okay. And so I want you to sort of revisit and check in with yourself as it relates to breaking those traditions, and to also check in with yourself and say, well, what, now that I'm upgrading my power, now that I'm stepping up in a level of power, I want you to check in with yourself. And this is something that we looked at about a year ago. I want you to look at, now that you've upgraded your power, and say, okay, what new agreements am I willing to make with myself? In the past, when there was limitation, we made agreements. We said yes to certain things. We gave meaning to certain things. We said yes to certain things. Yes, I am powerless. Yes, I'll never be able to solve this problem. Whatever it is, all of these agreements that we've made that were handed down to our family, something that says something outside of me has more power than I do. And I want you to ask yourself, now that I'm in this refined level of power and awareness and consciousness, what are the new agreements that I make with myself? What are the new commitments that I make with myself? That I, you know, for example, I commit and I agree. I agree to knowing my power. I agree to turning to using my inner being as my number one resource. I agree to understanding this relationship of the principle of source energy. I agree to my levels of power. I agree to my levels of consciousness. I agree to stop giving any external thing power. So make a list of agreements that that you will commit to as you move forward now. And part of that agreement, part of those agreements can be, I will no longer allow myself to be victimized, to be by the outer world, to feel, to be made to feel powerless or believe that the outer world has any power. I agree that I know I have within me the consciousness, the power, the clarity, and the solutions to maneuver through any circumstance or scenario that should come my way. Right? And so check in with yourself about what new agreements can you make with yourself, for yourself, about yourself, that will support you as you move up in this level of power. Right? Thinking again of getting behind the wheel of a Lamborghini, a Porsche, or some, you know, a supercharged car, where you say, I know I can handle this. I know I've got what it takes to handle this very powerful piece of machinery. I know I am responsible for the drive and the ride that I get from this piece of machinery. I know that I am the captain of this vehicle. It's me and me alone that determines the outcome of this ride, right? How you step into that upgrade of power is going to be massively shaped by the agreement that you make with yourself as you move forward. Right. So when you're listing these agreements, you remember your true source of power and you say yes to your inner nature. Okay. So as you make these new agreements and you upgrade these levels of power, when you're moving from self into soul, when you're living in self, you forget and you make really limited agreements. When you come from self and you haven't made powerful agreements, then you make agreements that your ability to authentically create is limited. You agree that your ability to discern truth from false is restricted. You agree that your ability to be directed and engage with soul and or source is inefficient. You agree that other people have the ability to knock you off your emotional PowerPoint. You agree that other people have the power to offend you, right? When you're coming from soul, you agree that your ability to authentically create is limitless. When you're coming from soul, you agree that your ability to discern truth from false is clear and accurate. When you're coming from soul, you agree that your ability to be engaged with soul and source is constant and continuous. When you're coming from soul, you agree that you are emotionally stable and powerful and ordered. When you're coming from soul, you agree that external sources have no influence on your validation of power. Right? So I want you to, again, this is a part of refining and recalibrating an upgrade in power. Okay, so part of what assists you in upgrading this power is for you to refine these agreements. Okay, and as you get really clear about these agreements and they become integrated in you, you're going to notice that flow of energy starts to become easier to manage, easier to drive, easier to shape. And powerlessness, the habit of powerlessness on whatever level it may exist in your life right now, starts to fall apart. And so at its root, powerlessness is all it is a forgetting of our relationship with soul and source. Right? And so we remember reminding ourselves over and over again that if there's any kind of limitation, that has been generated by self. And self can't solve those limitations. Only soul can. That part of yourself that understands and knows its relationship with source energy, that doesn't take anything personally, that is not influenced or affected by the outer world, that is responsive and not reactive, right? That only soul can alter those scenarios and those situations. And that's an inside job. And power is required to partner with that level of energy. Right? So, you know, people, it's so interesting because people always say, oh, I want more power. I want more power. I want more power. Okay. Well, if you upgrade this power, then you're going to have to be really clear and really capable just like you would be if you got behind the wheel of a sports car, that you're going to be able to handle it. Okay. And so as you continue to move and upgrade and you continue to refine this level of power, our part of our focus, part of our refinement, part of our further stability as a revisitation, and this is simply a revisitation, is to deepen our practice of peace and power, to really amplify and expand that. And again, by now, that equilibrium of peace and power, that emotional equilibrium, has become more and more normal to you. And what I want you to be able to play with as it relates to that experience of peace and power is to be able to really expand it and push it out. You know, imagine like you're blowing out a big balloon and you're expanding it to cover your entire neighborhood block. And then you're calling it in so that it just encompasses your body or your heart, or pushing it out so that it encompasses just your home, and then bringing it in so that it encompasses your car and you and your car. And to play with this field and this feeling of emotional equilibrium. Right. And so that no matter what happens, and I told you the story last month about the Starbucks scenario, where, you know, regardless of what happens with there was a woman who'd picked a fight in the Starbucks, and being able to maintain your emotional equilibrium regardless of what's going on around you. You want to be able to play with that. Right. Also, to be able to play with the process of discernment, which is the access to truth. So the soul, when you're coming from soul, there is powerful emotional equilibrium, right? Lots of balance, lots of coherence and order, right? Think of it being at the center point of a seesaw, a fulcrum, where you can move in any direction that you want because you're at the center point of power. Like a ninja who is so balanced and centered that regardless of which way the wind blows or what sort of enemies come his or her way, that the ninja is able to move in whatever direction and doesn't take any of it personally. Takes none of it personally. And what you hopefully are starting to notice is that the things that you used to take really, really personally, they may tweak you for a little while and you may take them personally, but then you start to notice, oh, wow, I see what I'm doing here. And the things that, you know, maybe you've been carrying around with you for 30 years because you were taking it personally, you were giving it meaning. Now you're able to release and let go really quickly. That's a reflection, a manifestation of emotional equilibrium. What you're also, as this power starts to escalate, is you're going to start to be able to recognize a greater discernment and access to truth. I don't know about you. But if I go on Facebook, it doesn't matter what I look at, that I'm able to really just scroll through it. And whether it's, you know, shitty media or posts about whatever's going on in the political world, or even on the other side of that, if it's, you know, super spiritual quotes about everything is love and all of that other stuff, you're able to look at it and it really not sink in, it really not have any sort of, it doesn't catch, it doesn't hook you, right? And so you can use social media, you can use Facebook to test drive your refinement. And, you know, look at those things and be like, is there any truth here? Even if it's a spiritual post, there's a lot of spiritual stuff out in social media that isn't based in any sort of principle. It's fairy dust and nice to read. It makes you feel good, but is there any base in principle? And you want to be able to really upgrade your discernment. Right. Discernment means the ability to discern, to select whether something is truthful or not truthful. Right. And you want to be able to use that discernment in your own thinking processes as well, not just in the outer world. That's fine. But again, we are always focusing on our inner self. We want to be able to use that process of discernment within ourselves, because there's millions of thoughts that blow through our consciousness at any given day. And our job as mystics is to be able to discern whether or not the things we are thinking, the things we are telling ourselves, the meanings that we are giving to anything is true. Right? Because limited self tells a lot of lies. Expanded soul tells few truths. Let me say that again. Self tells limitless lies. Soul tells a few truths. Soul, you know you're coming from refined consciousness when there's not a lot to say. When the intuitive direction is two or three words, and that's it, right? Again, understanding that intuitive consciousness, higher consciousness, refined consciousness, whatever you want to call it, because it's not intellectual and because it's beyond emotion, it's information, it's communication, is very succinct, very precise, and based in truth. When it's coming from the limited fear-based self, there's a lot of words, there's a lot of stories, there's a lot of meanings, there's a lot of what-ifs, there's a lot of woulda, shoulda, coulda that are most often based in falseness. And so as we upgrade our power, we want to be able to really amplify our ability to discern truth in ourselves. Sure, it's okay to look in the outer world, that's fine, but our priority is the conversation of inner truth. Okay. And thirdly, as an aspect of this refinement of power, and we've talked about this before, is that when you're coming from the mystical nature of soul, there's less and less need, less and less compulsion, less and less habit or desire to manipulate external things, to manipulate people, to manipulate circumstances, to try to force or push or cajole. But rather, there's a greater focus on that refinement of the inner world to generate cause. And over again, we go back to the truth and the declarations that we've made for ourselves of I am powerful, I am abundant, I am prosperous, I am one with the Father. My inner world shapes my outer world. I have everything I need. I have access to every resource possible. I can shape and direct and control source energy. That becomes the thing we focus on. Not the manipulation of outer things, not the manipulation of circumstances or people, or, you know, trying to make things happen. Now, we still take action. We still do stuff in the outer world. We still take action that's in alignment with the goals and the trajectories and the desires and the things that we've set up for ourselves. We certainly don't, you know, action is a part of this equation. But we take action that's in alignment with who we are being. And we take action that's in alignment with our goals. And when you're taking action in that way, it's not a manipulation. You're not trying to force certain things to happen. You just know and you trust that through you, if you continue to stay focused on your being and over time, through deliberate action and awareness, that over time, things will take shape. But there is no need to manipulate. And manipulate means to handle or control, to engineer, to steer, to twist a person or a situation, to control or play upon by artful or unfair means. That's a manipulation. Okay. And what you're noticing by now is that your need or desire or thinking that you need to manipulate the external world to get what you want or need, that habit, that impulse that comes from self, limited self, has started to break apart. And so as sort of the wrap up here, as we wrap up this call, as you upgrade your levels of power, I want you to really check in with yourself and acknowledge a few things. Is I want you to notice how your relationship with the external world has changed. It may be very slight, or it may be pretty profound. And in addition to that, I want you to notice and become aware of how that relationship with the outer world has shifted and been converted to the relationship with the inner world. Okay, so I want you to notice really clearly how your relationship with the outer world and the inner world has changed. The second thing I want you to consider is I want you to consider what things have you noticed that happen in your life contribute to you being conscious enough to turn inward. What are the things that capture your attention in your life, in your world, that you are conscious of and aware of, and that you catch them happening and you say, okay, I'm not going to try to go out into the and manipulate the external world. I'm going to turn in. I'm going to focus on my inner energy. What are the things that do that most profoundly for you? Because what you're going to find is those things that push you, that catch your attention and push you in, those are your greatest gifts. For some people, it might be money. For some people, it might be health. For some people, it might be, you know, their career. But for some people, it might be the safety in their neighborhood. Just catch the things that are occurring in your life that are forcing you, for lack of a better word, to remember the equation of inner world shapes outer world. Okay. And when you were able to catch yourself in those situations and recognize yourself in those situations and make that shift in consciousness from the limitation of self into the exaltation of soul, how did that feel when you were able to make that shift? Did you feel powerful? Did you feel conscious? Did you feel aware? Did you feel peaceful? Even if the outer circumstance didn't change, but you were able to recognize your level of being in the process of that circumstance. Right. At this stage, I want you to be able to recognize that inner nature as a priority. That's way more important than the outcome that you get. If you get a cool outcome and you're able to change, you're able to, without manipulation, you're able to alter the outcome, then that's cool. Ultimately, that's what we want. But we want to be able to alter the outcome, not through manipulation, but simply through the nature of our being and doing. But I want you to acknowledge and say, okay, yeah, I really noticed that. And I caught it and I felt really good about that. And each time you catch it and you feel good about it, what that's doing, I want you to acknowledge it and go, oh, we caught it. Good. Great. Keep doing that. We caught it. Good. Am I coming from self or soul? Ah, soul. Great. Awesome. Good. Keep doing it. Self or soul? Soul. Awesome. Great. Keep doing it. And it's going to build and it's going to build and it's going to build and it's going to build. Right. And over time, that changing from self to soul is just going to become, you're going to notice less and less and less times when you're coming from the limitations of self. And, or if you do come from the limitation of self, you're able to catch it really quickly, really instantaneously, and make the shift from self to soul instantly. Right, moving from powerlessness, the limitation of self, to powerfulness, the limitlessness of soul. Okay. And realize that the more consistently that recognition becomes, the more consistent that awareness becomes, that there's going to be a more profound shift from powerless manipulation of action or powerless no action into powerful authentic action and powerful, authentic outcome, which stems from authentic power. Right? And so what we want to be able to do is consistently and more consistently and more consistently as we move forward, as power continues to escalate, to really be aware of when we're taking action from powerlessness, limitations of self, or powerfulness, the limitlessness of soul. Okay. And so as you continue, as all of this practice in generating peace and power starts to become integrated, you're really going to start to this recognition of these new patterns are really going to start coming online, and you want to be able to catch them and recognize them. When you catch them and recognize them, you acknowledge them and you congratulate yourself and you say, wow, look what I did in that moment. I made a different choice. I did something from a different level of consciousness. Okay. And as you recognize those patterns of you coming from these more powerful levels of consciousness, your level of being and doing and having is going to continue to amplify. Again, it's like a fractal. It's like, think of the way a cell divides and a cell grows. First, it's a single cell, and then it becomes two cells, and then it's four cells, and then it's eight cells. At first, it grows very slowly, but over time, those four cells then duplicate and become 16 cells. Those 16 cells duplicate and become 32 cells, and 32 becomes 64, and 64 becomes 128, and it becomes exponential in its growth. This is why it's important for us to revisit this recapitulation of power, because as this power upgrades, the transformation becomes exponential. All right. And the way it becomes exponential and it starts to accelerate is by us acknowledging it when it does happen, when we have these little bitty successes, when we have these little bitty recognitions, when we realize the meaning that we've given to something and we turn that meaning on its head, or even better, we let go of any kind of meaning, right? When we get really clear about the things that we've agreed to as we move forward, and that starts to become integrated, it's going to start to accelerate. There's the story of the cells, 2, 4, 8, you know, growing exponentially. But there's also a story of this type of bamboo that you plant in the ground, and it grows really, really, really slowly for about the first 3 or 4 years. Like there's virtually no growth for 3 or 4 years, but you got to keep watering it, and you got to keep fertilizing it, and you got to keep weeding it. And then in the third or fourth year, it grows like gangbusters. It just explodes out of the soil. And at this stage of the game, that's where we're at, right? And so we continue to do the work. We continue to make the acknowledgments. We continue to refine. We continue to upgrade. We continue to clear away the stuff that doesn't work. We continue to look at the places where we are still hanging out in the limitations of self and the old habits, the mental habits that spin and get us tangled. And we become really responsible and aware of those still existing limits, but we also acknowledge where we've made really profound transformation. And we say, yeah, I see where I'm doing that differently. Holy moly. Slow and subtle, that's fine. But if I continue to grow on it, it's going to expand exponentially. All right. And so this consciousness that you're developing that is based in soul is going to start to really take root and sprout in your reality, right? Remembering that our equation is always being, doing, having. Inner world shapes outer world. Energy plus information equals outcome. That is our law. That is our mystical principle. That is, you know, in mystical scripture, that is the word of the Lord. Lord, it means law, means principle. That principle is our mystical guidepost. That is the only thing that has any power for us. Everything else that comes as a result of that agreement, that understanding, is gravy, is creative gravy. right? And so as you continue to activate and accelerate this power inwardly, you're going to do less and less forcing, pushing, manipulating, striving outwardly. You're going to save energy. You're going to save time. You're going to be more efficient. You're going to be more authentic. You're going to be more effective. You're going to be kinder, more peaceful. You're going to look less and less at what the outer world can do for you or what you can get from it. And you're going to start to live with a deeper and deeper relationship with yourself and source energy as this really awesome, powerful, cool partnership where this level of power within you has become so amplified and so refined and so clear and so precise that you now are an equal to it. You are an equal to that level of power and energy. And because you are an equal to that level of power and energy, that means you can, like a sports car, you can drive it. And you can reap the benefits of its speed and its beauty and its control and its maneuverability and its ability to get you from point A to point B really quickly and in a fun way. You don't have to walk. You don't have to crawl. You don't have to drive the old putt-putt. You can use your level of refined and amplified power to step behind the wheel of the power of source energy and use it to go wherever you want. But I want you to revisit all of these considerations because it's part of, as we upgrade our power, we want to be able to go in and clear out the places where there are still kinks in the energetic hose, not as a punishment, not as something that we have to do or that we dread doing, but as something we look forward to doing because it gives us the ability to, with consciousness, step into ourselves and continue to turn our spiritual lead into spiritual gold and to do that deliberately and with clarity and with a sense of dedication and happiness. And that really is, you know, certainly a part of what any mystic does is we do this work out of a sense of joy, not out of a sense of duty or a sense of panic, but out of a great sense of really getting to discover who we really are. So that's the teaching lesson for June. Take advantage of the video module that I posted. Take advantage of the Creating Sacred Wealth that I've reposted here in this month's module. We will be doing our live coaching call this Saturday, June 29th at 11 p.m. or 11 a.m. So I'll be sending out the details shortly for that. And so with that, I hope you have an awesome solstice season. I think that's all I need to let you guys know. So with that, I'm going to sign off. I hope you have an awesome week. I hope you enjoy the rest of your month of June. I'll see you in July. And I hope you have an awesome, awesome week. Continue enjoying to amplify your power and see what results it brings for you. And do think of it just like getting behind the wheel of a really fast sports car. And consider it that you, in order to drive that sports car, need to be a certain kind of driver. And that kind of driver is clear and emotionally stable and balanced, but also understand that the engine in the car that he or she is driving has the capacity and the capability to take that driver anywhere he or she wants to go and to have a whole load of fun along the way. So enjoy the ride. I'll see you really soon on the coaching call. Have a great day. Thanks for being here with me today, Mystics. Take care.